Beautiful, golden, and nearing 500 years alive, building upon a tall column of stone at Heliopolis, a nest of myrrh and frankincense, the great phoenix knows its life is near done. Then upon dying, a feathered worm grows in the heat of its decomposition from its own blood and bones, which becomes the new bird. First Clement. Just before death, the 500-year-old phoenix burns up in a fire lit from its own heat, perfumed by the nest of spices of cinnamon, balsam, frankincense, and myrrh, leaving a seed which, becoming a limbless worm, forms an egg in its ashes until, when ready, the new phoenix breaks forth and ascends to the regions of Aether, Lactantius. So now we come to the end of the 40 days post-Easter Day, just gone on Thursday, and the festival of the Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension. Luke, as you know, is the only gospel that has a formal ascension. In non-spurious Mark, there is barely even a resurrection. That's Mark up to chapter 16, verse 8. Everything after verse 8 is considered to be spurious. Neither Matthew or John admit anything like the imagery we find in Luke with Jesus ascending on a cloud. That's from Acts. Luke, it seems, had to make everything so very obvious. The most important thing about spiritual life is energy. And you learn this very quickly when you suddenly don't have the energy you normally do, like having, like when you have had COVID. Energy isn't everything, but it is a lot. So I want to start with that. The great path which leads to ascension requires enormous energy. Most of the things that are forbidden on this path or are encouraged on this path have to do with the conservation of or the best channeling of energy. If you slake your passions, for example, you waste and dissipate your energy. If you get angry, you waste energy. If you spend a lot of time talking or arguing, you waste energy. If you worry, become anxious, stressed, depressed, defeated, sorrowful, melancholic, hurt, resentful, prideful, you waste energy. If you become afraid or angry, you can destroy yourself with your own energy. Your fear can turn you into a slave. The way of the Saviour, the way of sacrifice, requires enormous energy. That is the way of making sacred. Requires enormous energy. Energy moving in the right direction. There are two serpents, which are two rivers. The two serpents, or two rivers, are really one river, but it can flow in two directions. In one direction, it is called Cacodaimon, the evil serpent. And in the other, Agathodaimon, the good demon, the good spirit, the good serpent. When it flows down, it gives birth to men in this world. That's the Cacodaimon. But when it flows up, it gives birth to gods, Agathodaimon. You need tremendous energy to change the flow of the river so that instead of flowing down, it flows up. The river is your life force and the life force of all beings. When you find yourself in this river, it hurts, so you need the energy to withstand its painful torrent, or you will never turn it around. All of the things we learn on the spiritual path have to do with making you strong enough to turn this river around. Why are we told to love one another and love the one? Because this helps you withstand the river, bring it to a stop, and turn it around, turn it upward. I'm going to read you something now. Here is that which the priest Sagittus of Nablus has dictated concerning the entrance of Balinus the Wise into the hidden chamber. Balinus is usually considered to be Apollonius of Tyana. After my entrance into the chamber where the talisman was set up, I came to an old man sitting on a golden throne who was holding an emerald tablet in one hand. And behold, the following in Syriac, the primordial language, was written thereon. Here is a true explanation concerning which there can be no doubt. It attests the above from the below and the below from the above, the work of the miracle of the One. And things have been from this primal substance through a single act. How wonderful is this work! It is the main principle of the world and is its maintainer. Its father is the sun and its mother the moon. Wind has borne it in its body and the earth has nourished it. The father of talisman and the protector of miracles, whose powers are perfect and whose lights are confirmed. A fire that becomes earth. Separate the earth from the fire, so you will attain the subtle as more inherent than the gross. With care and sagacity, it rises from earth to heaven, so as to draw the lights of the heights to itself, and descends to the earth. Thus, within it are the forces of the above and the below. Because the light of lights within it, thus does the darkness flee before it. The force of forces which overcomes every subtle thing and penetrates into everything gross. The structure of the microcosm is in accordance with the structure of the macrocosm, and accordingly precede the knowledgeable. And to this aspired Hermes, who was threefold graced with wisdom, and this is his last book, which he concealed in the chamber. So you may not recognize that, or you may recognize it. There's a slightly different translation that I'm also going to read you, this time from Fulcanelli, which is perhaps a little bit more familiar to those of you who are aware of this. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. As below, so above, and as above, so below. With this knowledge alone, you may work miracles. And since all things exist in and emanate from the One, who is the ultimate cause, so all things are born after their kind from this One. The sun is the father, the moon the mother. The wind carried it in its belly, the earth is its nurse and its guardian. It is the father of all things. The eternal will is contained in it. Here on earth, its strength, its power remain one and undivided. Earth must be separated from fire, the subtle from the dense, gently with unremitting care. It arises from the earth and descends from heaven. It gathers to itself the strength of things above and things below. By means of this one thing, all the glory of the world shall be yours and all obscurity flee from you. It is power, strong with the strength of all power, for it will penetrate all mysteries and dispel all ignorance. By it the world was created. From it are born manifold wonders, the means to achieving which are given here. It is for this reason I am called Hermes Trismegistus, for I possess the three essentials of the philosophy of the universe. This is the sum total of the work of the sun. And I quote from these because the one thing which they are referring to is this great river I previously mentioned. If you want to understand the ascension so that you can follow the way of Christ, you need to understand this one thing. Now, if you are to learn how to turn the river and ascend, ought you not to first of all have both energy and conscious will to do so? Without energy, you can do very little. Without becoming fully conscious, ending your own automation, that is, knowing yourself at every moment, your energy will always be wasted and you will never be free. So it's one thing to have high-sounding ideas about a spiritual path or making yourself holy through kindness, but if you are just a fully automated being, attached to your phone, magnetized to your screens, dully reactive to whatever the mass media, auntie, and the government tell you to think, do, behave, you are nothing but a robot. Then the Klaus Schwabs and the Dr. Hararis of this world don't even need transhumanism, for they already have you. Even if you are out of the sway of the socialist media, but just dully going through your day, every day you are still just an automatic desire machine, and the divine in you sleeps soundly. So the very first thing you must do is learn who you are. Learn how to be no one but yourself at every moment. And this is not an easy thing, because the whole world is wanting and acting to turn you into somebody else all the time. Many forces are always acting to put you to sleep and keep you asleep. Lots of so-called knowledge is really just stories designed to lull you into pleasant dreams or fractious nightmares. Even you are acting to automate yourself and keep yourself asleep all the time. How can you be the God you are if you are so hopelessly asleep? Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 34, it says, in your law ye are gods. Right after some Jews are about to stone him for blasphemy because he said, I and the Father are one. But I tell you, you ought to be gods, but you are not. Because so far, you do not know who you are at all. If you want to be gods, you have to start with two things. First, discover who you are, and second, grow your sources of energy. With these two things, you might one day ascend, although it would be good if you first made it through the baptism, transfiguration, crucifixion, and rising successfully. Most people have not even been reborn in the kingdom as the Christ child. So what hope of the rest of it? The hope is that you turn your face towards the kingdom and you learn to know yourself and you awaken from slumber. Then you become a real force to be reckoned with and impossible to enslave. Such an eater as you then become makes you really useless to the Klaus Schwabs of this world. And to be such a useless eater to the likes of him should make you truly proud to be alive. How do you awaken from slumber? So many methods. But you could start just by noticing the mechanical structure of your actions and thoughts together. Self-remembering, they sometimes call it. Anyway, at the beginning, I quoted First Clement, who, if not a Flavian, has the uncanny ability to sound exactly like one, and Lactantius, both talking about the phoenix. It is thought that the Hellenic phoenix is a creature of the same type as the Egyptian Bennu bird. If so, then it is of interest to us because Bennu means ascending one and is related to the word meaning brilliance. So in light of everything else I have said, let's take our minds back and ask, what is the purpose of this story, the story of the phoenix? What are Clement or the Egyptians, who originally told it, wanting to convey? Here is a bird that seems to die, but is really just being born anew, immortal, ascending skyward. Ask yourself, how does this story make you feel? If you dwell with it, if you dwell with the story properly and you're honest, you'll realize it makes you feel wonder. If you can make that sense of wonder really strong, so that it's like the kind of wonder you had as a child, you are then beginning to be on the road of the good one in reality. Now, what if you are really the phoenix and this story is really about you? Thanks for listening, guys.